If you were given $86,400 to spend in one day, how would you spend it? Would you spend it all on yourself, or would you share it with others? Would you spend it, $86,400, would you spend it haphazardly, or would you spend it thoughtfully and with a plan? Would you spend it on things you want, or would you spend it on things you need? What about this? If you were given a day in order to plan how you would spend that money, how would you use that day? Would you use that day? And what about this question? This might be a little strange, but you'll understand why I asked the question a little bit later on. Would you see the $86,400 as a blessing or a curse? Today in the message, we're going to answer these questions. The primary question, if you were given $86,400 and had to spend it in a day, how would you spend it? That's the question, along with the backup questions or the support questions, if you will, that we're going to answer today. That's the purpose of my message. Now, you might be sitting there saying, what has this to do with us? What has that to do with our Christian walk? What has that to do with our seeking the kingdom of God, as we heard about in the sermonette? Well, in fact, it has everything to do with it, because you see, what I'm talking about isn't $86,400. It's 86,400 seconds. See, I'm not talking about the spending of money today. What I want to discuss today is the spending of time. You see, God, who is the giver of all good things, has given you, has given me, has given all mankind a most precious gift. It is to be a blessing. It is the 86,400 seconds of the Sabbath day. This day that we are in the midst of. We read of the establishment of this day, this blessing, in Genesis chapter 2. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 2 to 3. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And on the seventh day," so we know what day we are discussing. Scripture clearly points out that the first day of the week is Sunday, the seventh day of the week then being Saturday. "So on that seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done." And then going on in verse 3, we read, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works which God had created and made." Now, there are three key words there in verse 3 that I want to focus in on up front, because it helps us to set the stage as far as the purpose and the importance of this day, this 24-hour period, this 86,400 seconds we refer to as the Sabbath day. The first word we want to look at is the word blessed. It says he blessed the seventh day. Now, the word blessed here in the original language in the Hebrew is baruch. It's B-A-R-A-K. And it has a root meaning. Obviously, it means blessed. That's what it's translated to. But it also has a root meaning to kneel. To kneel down. So when we put these two together, we see that the word blessed here means to bless man in the form of a benefit. It's one of the meanings of the word. But when we look at the root of that word, we also see that it also means to kneel down in adoration and praise to God. To kneel down in adoration and praise to God. So when we put these concepts together, we see that when we, man, kneel down and praise God on this day, then this day becomes a blessing to us. It is a blessing when we use it for the purpose that it was intended. Again, to kneel down in adoration and praise to God. This is why Jesus Christ says in Mark 2 verse 27 that the Sabbath came into being for man's sake. It was a blessing from God to you, to me. So the very reason he created it was for us. He didn't create us for the Sabbath, but he created the Sabbath to be a blessing for us. And it is indeed a blessing, again, if we spend the time properly in praise and worship of our God. The second key word that I want to focus in on is, it says he sanctified it. The word sanctified here, again, looking at the original language, Hebrew is kodesh. Q-A-D-A-S-H, kodesh. And it means to cause, to make, to pronounce, to appoint, to dedicate, to purify as clean, both ceremonially and morally. This is what it means when God sanctifies something. So here we see that the Sabbath time is a special time. It is not intended to be the same as the rest of time that you and I have to spend, that you and I have to perform all of our weekly labors in. God gave man 6 days in which we can labor and go about our own pursuits, but he gives us this one day to be focused on him, to put aside those labors and pursuits of this world, of this life, and focus on what is to come. So this day is a time of moral purification. It is appointed by God himself. It is appointed to man so that we can be cleansed from the ways of man, the ways that we've been delving into and working with and having to work throughout the week. And it is a time dedicated and set apart to where we can focus on, instead of the ways of man and man's pursuits, the ways of God and godly pursuits. The third word that we want to look at then is the word rested. Of course, this is the word in which we get, from the English, the word Sabbath. In the Hebrew, the word here for rested is Shabbat. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. And it means to desist from exertion, to cease, and to make to rest. To put away or to put down. As in, to put away or to put down our physical labors and endeavors. But notice it also means to keep. So this is something that is not just passive in that we just put everything away and lie around and do nothing all day. No, this is a time in which we are to keep. That gives us a sense of activity. There is something that we should be doing on this day. It is not a passive, inactive time. And then finally, it also means to celebrate. to celebrate. So when we put all of these together, these words, we come to an understanding that the Sabbath day isn't just a day of cessation of work. Yes, that is part of it. Yes, we put down, yes, we put away the ways of man, the ways of the work week, but we are also to keep something else. Unfortunately, I think that we too often focus on the Sabbath day as a day of rest. Now, indeed, it is a day of rest. Please don't misunderstand me. It is a day of rest. That is part of the purpose, to where we can feel physically rejuvenated and rest from all of our labours. But brethren, if all we do in spending our 86,400 is lie around and do nothing, then that is an immature and an inappropriate spend of our Sabbath time. It is time where we can. We are afforded the time to get extra rest. And I'm sure we all appreciate that. But let's understand that it is more than that. For a mature Christian, this is also a time of work, of activity. But not in the physical endeavours, but now in the spiritual endeavours. It is a time to work towards spiritual rejuvenation and growth. It is a time to be spent in celebration of God's plan of salvation that He has blessed us with and called us into at this point in time. So from the very beginning, brethren, God created the Sabbath day as a blessing for man, as special time to stop from our worldly endeavours and labours, and instead of labouring in our work, we now labour in the Word. We now labour in the work of the Almighty. And we celebrate His way of life. So again, I'm here to ask the question of you and of myself, how do you spend your 86,400? How do you use your Sabbath spend? What I'd like to do now is look at the questions, the support questions that I asked earlier, but now obviously in the context of understanding, we're talking about spending time on the Sabbath. So the first question that we will look at then is, do you spend your 86,400 on yourself, or do you share it with others? In relation to the Sabbath day, let's notice what the Apostle Paul says over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and this is in direct relation to the Sabbath day, the spending of our Sabbath time. In Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read verses 24 and 25. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another. Let us be thoughtful of one another. Let us be aware of one another, of the needs of one another, in order that we might stir up love and good works." Now, I want you to notice at the end of verse 24, there is not a period. That is not the end of the thought. That is not the end of the sentence. The thought and the sentence continues on, and it says in verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, as has been the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So in the context of the Sabbath day and the spending of our time, the Apostle Paul says, don't neglect coming together, but come together and consider one another and exhort one another. Don't forsake one another. Share one another's joys. Share one another's burdens. Help one another. And this day is for that specific purpose. Now, there are other times, yes, but this day has been set aside by the Almighty God for that purpose. So that the point that I'm making here is that we are to come together. Now, how do we come together? I mean, in what frame of mind? A little bit later on, I won't turn there, but in Hebrews 12, verse 23, Paul refers to the church as the general assembly of the firstborn. The firstborn, meaning family. The firstborn of those registered in heaven. The firstborn of the God family. So we are to come together as children of God, as brothers and sisters, as family members. And as family members, help one another. Not only is this a time for us to get something out of this 86,400, but this is also a time for iron to sharpen iron. And it's not just me or someone else up here giving to you. Right now, you know what you're doing? Well, I hope. You're getting. You're getting. But you're not sharpening anyone yet, are you? Not yet. That comes. So it's a time for iron to sharpen iron. It isn't just about the hearing of the message, although that is an important part of it, or messages, I should say. That is an important part of it. But it's also a time to come together to build those family bonds. It's a time to give of yourself, to give of yourself to the other family members. Now, with modern technology, we today have the ability to be able to stay at home and watch these services online. And when we do that, again, we can certainly get something out of the Sabbath day. But my question to you is this: if you do that, what are you giving? How are you helping someone else? Where is the iron sharpening iron, if that's all we do? When I look at Jesus Christ and how he kept the Sabbath day, what I see is a man giving of himself time and time and time again. And of course, when we talk about Christ, his whole life was about giving. He used his 86,400 Sabbath spend in ways of giving to others. You know, it is not a coincidence that so many of Christ's healings occurred when? On this day. He was giving, he was spending his 86,400 on others, helping them, healing them, providing for their needs. Now you might say, yeah, but giving is draining. It's hard to give. I get tired when I give. Yep. But you know what? Giving is also rewarding and rejuvenating. And we'll talk about something a little bit later on that can help you in this area. Now, of course, when I talk about modern technology and the fact that we can stay at home and watch on the internet, I must make a caveat here. Because God himself established times in which we should not come together. He himself established quarantine rules, didn't he? So when we are sick, and once again I thank you all for your prayers, my wife walked in yesterday afternoon when she got home from work, and I was all excited, and I said, I'm feeling much better. I know I'm going to be able to make it tomorrow. Take your temperature. Do you have a fever? If you've got a fever, you're not going anywhere. She was making sure that I was going to follow God's quarantine laws. So there are times, if we are sick, that we shouldn't be coming. We understand that, and in those circumstances, at least we can still get something out of that day by watching online. There are times where we just physically can't make it to services. We just don't have the ability to do that for whatever reason. So we understand those. That's not the issues that I'm talking about. The issue that I'm talking about here is you get home Friday, you're tired from work, there's nothing wrong with you, but you're just tired, and I just don't want to go to church tomorrow morning. Again, you can get something by watching it online, but what can you give? The question being asked here isn't so much about the ability to attend, but rather the mindset to attend. Do you desire to be here? And when you can't, oh, it hurts. You know, I feel so much for people that aren't able to make it. And I've spoken with some of them, and it hurts them, the fact that they can't be here with us. And our prayers go out to them. But such is life, you know. Those are the circumstances that they find themselves in. All right, let's go on and let's address the next question. On spending your $86,400, do you spend it haphazardly or do you spend it thoughtfully with a plan? While God does give us a few do's and don'ts about the Sabbath observance, and I'm not going to go into that, what I really want to talk about is our personal thoughtfulness in our approach to this day, in our approach to our Sabbath spend. You know, I remember from my earliest recollection, Friday nights was always special. We always had a little bit nicer meal. And while my mother was alive, she managed, and we were very, very poor, so this is not an expensive thing, but she always managed to come up with, and I'm not sure whether she termed this or whether it was something going around in the church at the time, but it was called a Sabbath special. Anyone ever heard of that term before, having a Sabbath special? Well, we grew up as little children always getting a Sabbath special. Now, that might be a little lolly or candy, as you call it over here. Or it might be a little colouring book or something very inexpensive. But it was something that made the Sabbath, the entrance into the Sabbath, something special for a little child. We always had a nicer meal with whatever it was that we were having. It was somehow nicer than the rest of the meals that we had throughout the week. But again, the point here was, as the Sabbath came upon us, we knew that it was special, enjoyable time. Why? Why was this? How did this happen? Because my mum planned it. That's why. She had a plan in mind that every Friday night something special was going to happen for us. She planned it. The Sabbath wasn't just an afterthought. The Sabbath wasn't, oh, it's sunset. What do I do now? No, it was planned for. It didn't just happen, but the Sabbath was actually anticipated. Today, or to this day, my wife and I always still plan a nicer meal come Friday night. When the kids were little, they too grew up getting very inexpensive little gifts on Friday night called Sabbath specials. And I want to just point out here, and I've mentioned being a little kid and having Sabbath specials for the kid, understand that our children, they're not spiritually mature. So to help them enjoy the Sabbath in ways that they can comprehend and understand, are we doing something for them? Are we making it special time for them? That generally means something in the terms of the physical realm, something that they would enjoy. So again, we want to not forget our children as far as making the Sabbath time special time. Something to look forward to. I can tell you, as a little boy growing up, I looked forward to the Sabbath day. Now, you might say, well, yeah, it was carnal because I was going to get a little gift. Yes, in the beginning, sure. But that grew and that developed. And what I was left with was a love for the Sabbath. And now God can use that and work with that in other ways. A while back, Mr. Foster spoke to us on how every Friday night his mum would prepare a special Sabbath meal. And they would all sit down and have that meal. And then what happened after the meal? So mum provides the special meal, and after the meal, enter dad. What did they do? Now all the kids and dad would go to the living room, sit on the couch, and they could ask dad to tell them, you know, pick a Bible story and tell it to them. Again, it was a way to make that time special, to bring in the Sabbath day in a very special way. Because the Sabbath is to be special time. Time that is different from the rest of the time within the week. So, brethren, if you have kids, what do you do? Or what can you start doing to make the Sabbath something special for them? Something for them to look forward to. You know, this world says Friday night is special. Friday night's a very special night in this world. Because that's the night you play football. Or that's the night you play in the band. Or that's the night you play other sports. Do you think that's a coincidence? No. You see, because Satan has a plan too. And Satan's plan is to draw our children away from the Sabbath. And so, it is no coincidence that it is on Friday night that these things are pulling at our children. Come and do this with us. Come and party. So, understand that there is a pull. There is a plan and there is a pull to pull our children away. My question to us is, what is our plan to counteract that pull? Do we have a plan to counteract that pull? If not, let's make a plan to counteract that pull. What about you personally? How do you make the Sabbath something special for yourself? Now that my children are growing, one of the things that I like to do is every Friday night, we have that nice meal. And particularly in the winter when it gets darker and it's cold outside, what I like to do is I like to go to bed earlier. I go to bed early anyway, but earlier. And I have my little cell phone. And I can go to the UCG homepage and there's hundreds of sermons there. And so I love to just lay in bed and watch a sermon on my cell phone. I don't take notes. It's not, you know, really mind-engaging in that sense. But it's more relaxing. And it is a way to begin to gear my mind and get my mind off of the events of the week onto the events of God and onto God's word and God's way of life. Just a very relaxing way to listen to a sermon. That's one thing I like to do. Now, you might have other things. Otherwise, I might like to, you know, read one of our booklets or read the magazines. We have extra time to do that. So what do we do for ourselves to make this an enjoyable time? Something that we can look forward to throughout the week. So again, I ask the question, do we have a plan to make our Friday night special? Or does the Sabbath just happen? It's here. Does it just happen or is it planned for? Now here in San Antonio, we have morning services. So let's now talk about Sabbath afternoon. What can we do? How can we plan to make our Sabbath afternoons something special? You know, one of the things that we used to do a lot of, we kind of tended to get away from it, and I think we need to get back to it. One of the things that we can do is we can get together for meals. On Sabbath afternoons, come together for meals. But what I really want to talk about is invite people into your homes. Invite people into your homes for Sabbath afternoon meals. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. If you're inviting other people over, all can contribute, so it doesn't have to be a huge burden on you. But let's get together in our homes and spend time together. We can have good food and good conversation. What might we talk about? Well, we might discuss what the message is meant to us today. We might talk about what we've been personally studying in our Bible studies. We might discuss a scripture that we've been thinking about and ask others, what do you think about that? Get other input. Going back to the kids, we might play Bible games with the kids. One of the things we used to do is we used to set it up like it'd be mum and one of the children and me and one of the children, and we'd ask, you know, these scriptural cards and what have you, and ask questions, and we keep score. Now you say, oh, well, that's competition. Well, yeah, but it's fun, you know. And when there's a score going on, the kids are more involved with it, and they're trying to, you know, our team wants to win versus thing type thing. I don't mean to make that a big competition thing, but you understand what I'm saying? And so we made it fun for them to think about and answer Bible questions. Again, let's not neglect our children. This is time for them as well. What about after lunch? Well, after lunch, maybe we could go for a casual walk to the park. Maybe, weather permitting here in Texas, we could go out and sit underneath the trees, if you have trees. But find some kind of relaxing thing to do as family together. Now, I'm not going to discuss going out to eat on the Sabbath, but I will say this. If you gather together and go to a restaurant, your options are far more limited than if you meet in someone's home. In a noisy, crowded restaurant, you don't have the same atmosphere to induce good conversation. It's more difficult to do that. Now, you might say, wow, having people over Sabbath afternoon, that's a lot of work. When am I going to do that? Well, yeah, it is a lot of work, but again, if you have a plan, then that plan can go a long way towards fulfilling that work. This then leads me to the next question. The next question is this, because God knows that it takes work. And so what does he do for us? He gives us a day to prepare. The next question, if you were given a day to prepare for your spending of $86,400, how would you use that day? Would you use that day? Or would that day just drift on by and nothing happens? Turn with me to, well, before I go there, I wanted to mention, you know, when we look at God, God is not a haphazard God, is he? God is a God who plans. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it says that God is not the author of confusion. God doesn't go through time getting, you know, hoodwinked or sideswiped. Oh, I didn't see that coming. We read in Scripture that he and the Son have had a plan of salvation. And they've been working out that plan from the beginning of the world. So he is a God that plans ahead. And he's also a God that teaches his people to plan ahead. Regarding the Sabbath day, God gives us this day to prepare. Let's notice in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 addresses this day, verse 42. It says, now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So here Scripture tells us that the day before any Sabbath, this happened to be an annual Sabbath, but the same is true for a weekly Sabbath, the day before a Sabbath is referred to as the preparation day, the day of planning. Planning for what? Preparing for what? The next day, the Sabbath day. we see that God himself established this preparation day way back in Exodus chapter 16. Let's go there. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Now in Exodus chapter 16, we read of where God was feeding the children of Israel with manna. Manna was this bread that would come down and appear every morning. And there was something really interesting about this manna. The children of Israel were instructed to go out and collect it, but they were told, only collect what you need for that day. And if they tried to collect more than what they needed and keep it over, what was kept over would become smelly, would have worms, and it was just a big mess. So the point that God was showing his people then and now is that we are to depend on God daily for our needs. This is why Christ in his sample prayer said what? Give us this day our weekly bread? No, our daily bread. But there was something else about this manna, and it occurred on the preparation day, the Friday. Every Friday, they were commanded not to gather more than they could eat for the next day, or for that day rather, except for on the preparation day. On the preparation day, they were to gather twice as much. Let's pick up the story here in verse 21. Exodus 16 verse 21, it says, so they gathered it every morning, the manna, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted, it disappeared. And so it was on the sixth day, here's the preparation day, the Friday before the Sabbath, that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, prepare in other words, and boil what you will boil, and lay it up for yourselves, all that remains to be kept until the morrow. So they laid it up till the morning, and as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor was there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord, today you will not find it in the fields. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, there will be none. The point God is making here to his people then and his people today is use the Friday, the preparation day, to lay up for and prepare for the Sabbath day. So if you have plans for the Sabbath day, you've planned ahead and you're going to have some people around and you know there's going to be extra cooking involved. When do we do that cooking? We do that on the preparation day. God gives us that day. Do all that we can do in preparation for the Sabbath so that we can rest and enjoy the Sabbath day the way it was intended. Fill up the car, wash the car, get the groceries. Do all of that on the preparation day. So it's then done for you on the Sabbath day. If you're going to have guests over, you might also let them know ahead of time so that they can plan, so that they can use their preparation day to prepare for what it is that you are inviting them over for. Proper use of the preparation day allows us to more fully enjoy and utilize the Sabbath day. It allows the Sabbath day to be a greater blessing for us. But we must use the preparation day. I fear that this is one of the things that has kind of become a side item in the church today. Do we even think about Friday as the preparation day? Now look, I'm not going to get into it. I don't have time. I don't really have the desire to get into it. But I know, you know, you might be saying, yeah, but husband and wife work all week and we don't have that time. Yeah, I know that that's necessary in some cases, but sometimes I wonder, the standard of living that we want, does that encumber our spiritual walk? Do we really need that second job? Do we really need to work on that Friday? Look, I'm not here to tell you exactly how to do that. But again, God does give us a preparation day. Are we taking advantage of that? Or does it just fly on by? And we find the Sabbath just coming upon us. There's one final question I do want to address very quickly. Do you spend your $86,400 on the things you want, or do you spend it on the things you need? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah 58, God again is having a dialogue with his people. We can think of him having a dialogue with us. And it begins talking about fasting. And God doesn't deny that they are doing it. They are fasting. But what he questions is their motivation. You see, they were fasting so that their voice could be heard by God, instead of fasting so that they could hear God's voice. Difference in attitude, isn't it? But after he addresses fasting, he then addresses the Sabbath day and the observance of this time. Let's pick this up in verse 13. We'll read verses 13 and 14. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. What is he saying there? They were observing the Sabbath, but they were observing it the way they wanted to. They were walking the way they wanted to on the Sabbath day. And he says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honourable, and shall honour him. What is the purpose of this? To kneel in adoration and worship of him, to honour him. Not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasures, not speaking your own words. That's not the right purpose for the Sabbath. We have 6 days in which we can do those things, but the Sabbath, that's not the purpose. He says, if you stop doing that, he says, and start doing what is right, worshipping God, honouring God, keeping the day the way he instructs us to keep it, the way Scripture shows us that it should be kept. He says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He says, if you stop doing your pleasures on my Sabbath, and do things that are pleasing to me on my Sabbath, I will bless you. The Sabbath will actually become a blessing to you. And not just that specific day, but throughout your life, I will bless you. If you keep my Sabbath the way I intended it. Again, Israel was having a problem with that. So we want to learn from our brethren of the past. And we don't want to make those same mistakes. God is telling us today that if we put aside our ways of doing things and trust God and observe the Sabbath according to his ways, if we honour him, then he will bless us and the Sabbath will become a delight. When we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, again, the day itself becomes a blessing. But also we are blessed throughout the rest of the days. Just a side point, but have you ever thought about this? Because God talks about blessing in accordance with Sabbath observance. Have you ever thought about the proportion of which you are blessed is directly tied to your Sabbath observance? Wow, that's something to think about, isn't it? Now, does this mean that, you know, on the Sabbath day, we walk around all mopey and we can't do anything because we're not allowed to do our pleasure, so we can't have fun? No. No. Again, this is a matter of attitude. If our attitude is, I want to do my stuff, I want to be out there at the ball game, but I can't because God says I've got to be here. Or I can't because Mr. Foster will notice that I'm not here and he'll call me during the week. You know? If that's our attitude, the Sabbath is going to be a real downer. It's going to be a real big burden, isn't it? But if our attitude is, I want to become more like God, I want to grow in grace and knowledge, and I want to grow into the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ, and I want to be there to hear those words of life, and I want to be there to help my brothers and sisters, I want to be there to do the things of God, the work of God, then you know what? Those things that are pleasing to God, and all of those things are, all of a sudden they become pleasing to us. And the Sabbath becomes delightful. The Sabbath becomes a blessing. It's all about the attitude in which we approach it. So, brethren, every week God gives you 86,400 to spend. He also gives you an entire day to plan and prepare for how you're going to spend so that you can make the most of it. The question I have for you and the question that I have for myself today is, how will you spend your 86,400?